The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I'm dropping a new music video tonight for my single, Kill 'Em With Crazy. You can check that out on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/KatieTrop, or you can check that out on my website, katietrop.net. That's going to be dropping tonight, like I said. And then also of note, I did want to mention there is not going to be a show on Monday because Justin Timberlake's coming to town, and I'm going to go see his fine ass, so... I enjoyed myself so much the first time around that I have to go see him yet again. Sorry, y'all. No show on Monday. Not like it really matters, because unfortunately, we are headed towards sports fan purgatory, and this is going to be the first weekend. We have no football. Of course, we have the boring-ass Pro Bowl, but I don't participate in that shit. I don't watch that crap, especially now that it's flag football. But I haven't watched that in so many years. I couldn't even tell you the last time I watched the Pro Bowl. But yeah, kind of sucks. No football this weekend, and then it's Super Bowl next weekend, and then it's the month of February, where ain't shit going on. So let's enjoy this last bit of football that we get next week. So let's get right into basketball this week. As a matter of fact, you know, I've been talking about the Houston Rockets and how I don't know if I believe in them yet, but they are starting to look more and more legit as this season wears on, especially with the kind of week that they had. Beginning with Monday, the Houston Rockets beat the Boston Celtics 114-112 in a crazy game. It was just back and forth between the Rockets and the Celtics, and the game-winning shot was by Amen Thompson. He had 33 points on the night and 9 rebounds, and then Brooks also added in an additional 36 points, but it was crazy. They just really went toe-to-toe with the Boston Celtics, and you know, I said the Celtics have been kind of slumping just a bit over the past couple of weeks, but I mean, still, they're the defending champions, and I've mentioned with the Houston Rockets, I don't know how much I believe in them, but they are looking more and more legit by beating good-ass teams like this. So then on Tuesday night, what did the Houston Rockets do? They beat the Atlanta Hawks 196. This was another close game that came right down to the wire. It was basically the Houston Rockets versus Trae Young. Trae Young was going off for the Hawks, but the Houston Rockets ended up getting the win, 196. And Green, he was the one who had the big night with 25 points. And that's kind of the thing with this Houston Rockets team, is that it feels like every game, a different dude steps up, and they do it big, and they just make these game winners, and they play legit teams, like I keep saying. I mean, the Celtics, ain't nothing to scoff at if you beat them, especially in the type of game that they had. But it just kind of feels like every game, a new guy steps it up for them. And then on Wednesday night, we had a good battle between the New York Knicks and the Denver Nuggets. The Knicks got the win, 122-112. Jokic ended up getting in foul trouble, like, right off the bat, which basically set the tone for the rest of the game, and the Knicks really just completely dominated this one. Jalen Brunson had a double-double with 30 points and 15 assists. Karl Anthony Towns also had a double-double with 14 points and 10 rebounds. Josh Hart, like I keep telling you, this guy is having a phenomenal year, especially on the defensive side of the ball and getting the rebounds. He is a beast in the paint, and I just feel like this New York Knicks team is really damn good, and they beat a really damn good Denver Nuggets team as well. And then last night, the Houston Rockets were actually on the losing end of things, but it still was a battle between them and the Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizzlies got the win 120-119. That's how crazy close that game is. And these are division rivals, and every time the Grizzlies and the Rockets have played so far this season have been legit battles where they just go down to the wire. Last night it was all about Jaren Jackson Jr. He is having a great year. He dropped 21 points. Bane also added in an additional 24 points. And Ja Morant didn't even play last night. So big win by the Memphis Grizzlies. And like I said, though, the Houston Rockets, they've been just taking it to everybody. They are not scared of anybody, and they just dominate the paint. So like I keep saying, I've been hesitant to really put them in the legit category, but they are beating some legit squads, so I might actually have to start taking the Houston Rockets a little bit more serious. One thing I didn't discuss last week, which I actually meant to, is we have the Baseball Hall of Fame inductees. They were announced last week for the 2025 Hall of Fame, and as you know, I have a lot of issues with the Baseball Writers of America and how they vote and who they vote for and blah, blah, blah. I will say, though, this year I have no issues with who they added in. And usually when the announcements are made, I don't usually make it a big rant about how stupid they are. But regardless, we actually have two first-timers. Ichiro Suzuki, he was a first ballot Hall of Famer. One of the great legendary Seattle Mariners. He has career numbers of batting average of .311, 3,089 hits, 117 home runs, 780 RBI, 509 stolen bases. He won the MVP in 2001. By the way, that was his rookie year when he won Rookie of the Year as well. So obviously 2001 was a great year for him. But he also owns a Major League Baseball record for the most single season hits. He had 262 hits in a single season, and that still remains to this day. He just was extremely consistent for the Seattle Mariners. They were never a dominant team. I mean, they did have that one year where they got like a record number of wins in the regular season and then lost right off the bat in the playoffs. So that's kind of how the Seattle Mariners existence pretty much has been for quite some time. But Ichiro Suzuki, regardless, he is definitely a Hall of Famer and definitely deserves to be there. Then another first ballot Hall of Famer is starting pitcher C.C. Sabathia. He dominated his era. He was most notably with the Cleveland Indians and the New York Yankees. He was so dominant. His win-loss record, 251. Wins, 161 losses, a career 374 ERA, 3,093 strikeouts. He won the World Series in 2009 with the Yankees. He won the Cy Young Award in 2007. He was an MVP in 2009. So he just was extremely dominant throughout his entire career. It's really actually difficult to find a bad year that CeCe Sabathia had in his career. As a matter of fact, I'd only say any time he might have had a down year, it was probably because he was injured, but he was such a consistent dude and just really played at the highest level all the way till the end of his career. And then on his 10th go-round, which is always crazy to see, takes that long for you to get in the Hall of Fame, but Billy Wagner, relief pitcher, he was a journeyman, but he was most known for playing with the Astros and the Mets. He had 47 wins, 40 losses on his career, 2.31 ERA, 1,196 strikeouts, and 422 saves. He just was an extremely consistent closer, especially when he was with the Mets. He really had some insane years with the Mets, but good for him. He gets in on his 10th go-round. So since we don't have any football this week, we don't actually get to talk about football, but I do know what we can talk about, and that is recapping my 2024 NFL season predictions I made before the season, just to see how wrong I was. And believe me, when I was writing down what my predictions were, I was like, wow, I was really, really, really off. So let's see what I predicted was going to happen this season and see how far off I was. So let's begin with the NFC, that the number one overall seed was going to be the Green Bay Packers. They did make the playoffs, but they were not the number one overall seed. Number two, I had the Dallas Cowboys. They were definitely a number two this year, but not the number two overall seed. Then at number three, I had the San Francisco 49ers, another shitbag team who did nothing this year. And at number four, I had the New Orleans Saints, another shitbag team who did nothing this year. Then at number five, I had the Detroit Lions. So I definitely had them making the playoffs. I just actually kind of had it in reverse order where it should have been Detroit number one and Green Bay at number five. Then at number six, I had the Los Angeles Rams. Obviously, that's about where they were. And then number seven, I had the Philadelphia Eagles. So those were my NFC season predictions. So I was right about four of the teams making the playoffs. But obviously, I completely overlooked Detroit and Philadelphia this year. Now, with the Eagles, you gotta remember, I'm a Cowboys fan, so there's always going to be that Eagle bias that I have. So that definitely, I mean, quite frankly, it's shocking I even put them at number seven. So there we have that. Then in the AFC, didn't do too good with those predictions either. At number one, I had the Houston Texans. They did make the playoffs, but they were definitely not the number one overall seed. Then at number two, I had the Cincinnati Bengals, who had a terrible season. Then at number three, I had the Kansas City Chiefs, so I still expected them to win their division. Then at number four, I had the New York Jets. They did nothing this year. Then at number five, I had the Baltimore Ravens. Had them make it to the playoffs. And at number six, I had the Buffalo Bills. And then at number seven, I had the Jacksonville Jaguars, who also didn't make the playoffs. So I was right about four. Yeah, so I was about half right on each one of the predictions there, but the ones I was off on, boy, was I off on. So my laughable NFC Championship game, I had the Dallas Cowboys versus the Green Bay Packers. Neither of them made it. And then my AFC Championship game, I had the Buffalo Bills at the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bills made it, but the Bengals did not. And my Super Bowl matchup, of course, was the Dallas Cowboys versus the Cincinnati Bengals, with the Cowboys winning it all. Yeah, I know, it's pretty funny because that's how it went. But hey, at least I recap my predictions, unlike most analysts throughout the year, because I don't really care if I'm wrong. I mean, predictions are predictions. They're just stupid-ass predictions. They ain't gonna be right most of the time anyways. But that's what I thought was gonna happen at the beginning of the season. But now here we are with the stupid-ass Eagles versus the stupid-ass Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Woohoo! But with that being said, that is another Super Bowl, what you would call rematch, because the Eagles and the Chiefs have faced each other. I think it was, 4 years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? I don't remember. So a couple years ago, they faced off against each other, but they are doing it again this year. And it's happened a few times. It's happened 9 separate occasions, if you include the Kansas City versus Philadelphia matchup. The first time it ever happened was between the Miami Dolphins and the Washington Redskins. That happened in the 70s. Then we had the San Francisco 49ers versus the Cincinnati Bengals. That happened in the 80s. Then we had the Dallas Cowboys versus the Buffalo Bills. That happened in the 90s. Then we had the New York Giants versus the New England Patriots. That was the early 2000s. Then the New England Patriots versus the Philadelphia Eagles. That was kind of a few years in between. I think that was kind of like a couple, like a decade in between there, their second matchup. Then we also had the New England Patriots versus the St. Louis / Los Angeles Rams. They faced off against each other twice. Then we've had the Kansas City Chiefs versus San Francisco 49ers. And then we've had the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Philadelphia Eagles. And then the one and only time it's happened where two teams have faced off against each other 3 times in the Super Bowl, Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Dallas Cowboys. They have done it 3 times in the history of the Super Bowl. So with that being said, today's Top 5 list is going to be the Top 5 Super Bowl rematches of all time. Because, you know, I mean, obviously, I think they were all good matchups. Yeah, looking at all of them, for the most part, yeah, they were all pretty close games. Except for one. But it made the list because you're going to find out why. It shouldn't take a rocket science for you to figure this one out. But you're lucky I didn't put it in at number one, I guess. But let's go ahead and start off with number 5 on my Top 5 Super Bowl rematches. That's, of course, my Dallas Cowboys versus the Buffalo Bills. That was when it was a great, glorious time to be a Dallas Cowboys fan in the 90s, was watching them kick the shit out of everybody, including the Buffalo Bills, in the Super Bowl. They did it in Super Bowl 27, where they just slaughtered the Bills 52-17. And then in 28, it looked like it might actually be a game headed into halftime. But then, of course, the Cowboys just took the lead at halftime and never looked back. And they won that one 30-13. But really, I mean, the Bills dominated the AFC in this time period. The Cowboys were one of the dominant teams in this era. Obviously, they were the dynastic team of this era. But, I mean, they also had the Niners and the Green Bay Packers thrown in there as well as big rivals. So, but, I mean, for me personally, it was just a great time because I actually got to see my team win 3 Super Bowls. And it was the complete opposite of what they do now. But I guess that's why I'm not like most of the rest of the crybaby Cowboys fans, because I've actually seen them win, and I remember it. But those were some good old days, and of course I had to put that on the list. Like I said, you're lucky I didn't put it in number one, but there were some better matchups than those ones, because the Cowboys just dominated both of those matchups, and they weren't even really close games. Then at number four on my top five Super Bowl rematches, I have the Kansas City Chiefs versus the San Francisco 49ers. In the first matchup in Super Bowl 54, the Kansas City Chiefs won 31-20. It was a very close game. As a matter of fact, the Niners actually had the lead for the majority of the game up until the fourth quarter, basically. And then it just was one of those last second plays where Jimmy Garoppolo just overthrows the receiver just by a bit, and boom. Niners' dreams fall in Super Bowl 54, and then in Super Bowl 58, last year's Super Bowl, they lost in overtime, 25-22, which is one of the main reasons why I put this one on here, because, I mean, both games were really good, but the fact that this one went into overtime, it was the second Super Bowl ever to go into overtime, but it literally went all the way to the last second of the overtime quarter, and it just was a just great display of football by both teams. Then at number three on my top five Super Bowl rematches, I have the San Francisco 49ers versus the Cincinnati Bengals. I know a lot of you don't really get it because this was back in the 80s, but this was the Joe Montana era. Joe Montana was the GOAT before Tom Brady and before Patrick Mahomes ever were even thought of. Joe Montana was doing his damn thing, especially against the Cincinnati Bengals, and especially in crunch time. As a matter of fact, he was known as Joe Cool. He was the first real kind of like, guy, you just, if you left too much time on the clock, you knew he was going to score. And that is exactly what he did in both Super Bowl 16 and Super Bowl 23. In Super Bowl 16, the Niners won 26-21 on a game-winning Joe Montana drive. And then they also won Super Bowl 23, 20-16 on a game-winning Joe Montana drive. So had to put that one in there because I know a lot of people don't get it. It's the Bengals, but they were a pretty damn good team back in the 80s. Then at number two on my top five Super Bowl rematches, the New England Patriots versus the New York Giants. The only team that was ever able to really just stick it to Tom Brady was the New York Giants. And they did it twice in the Super Bowl against two really damn good New England Patriot teams who were heavily favored, especially in the first matchup in Super Bowl 42. They were trying to be the only undefeated team in Super Bowl history, as far as they did. I mean, obviously, the Miami the 75 Dolphins, they're the technically the only undefeated team ever. But the Patriots, since there's more games in today's era, it would have been an even bigger record. But they failed because the New York Giants defense really stepped it up. And they got the biggest upset in Super Bowl history, 17-14, Super Bowl 42. And then Super Bowl 46, it was still an upset, just not as big of an upset, but it was an upset. Nobody expected the Giants to win again, but they did, 21-17. And they were both close games, came down to the wire, but obviously the bigger of the two was 42 because there was no way that the Giants were taking out that juggernaut. And that's why you play the game, because they did. But at number one on my top five Super Bowl rematches, I had to put Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Dallas Cowboys, and that's because they're the only teams to do it three times. And all three games, excellent games, pretty close matches for the most part. I would say one of them was more Dallas-dominated, but the ones in the 70s, they were real juggernaut games. So in Super Bowl 10 was the first time they faced off. Pittsburgh got the win 21-17. Then in Super Bowl 13, Pittsburgh got the win 35-31 on the Cowboys actually could have won this game, but unfortunately their tight end dropped the game-winning touchdown, and I mean, it hits him, right? It's one of the most historic dropped passes in the history of the Super Bowl. I'm sure to this day, if the guy's still alive, he still thinks about that shitty drop pass, because if he had made that catch, this would be a completely different turn of events in that game. The Cowboys would have won that one. But in Super Bowl 30, the Cowboys did win that one 27-17. It's mostly Dallas dominated for the most part, but Larry Brown made the huge play of the game where he intercepted the ball to send the Cowboys home with a huge Super Bowl win. So those are my top five Super Bowl rematches of all time. Well, enjoy the quiet weekend of sports. We, of course, have basketball, but it ain't football, and it's going to be a quiet weekend with no football. That's for damn sure. But enjoy the little bit of sports we get this weekend. And remember, no show on Monday, so I will talk to you next Friday.